Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, Katrina has played havoc with barge freights on the Mississippi River system, and the LDP in parts of Illinois widened to nearly 50 cents this week. We'll find out what it might all mean as USDA gets set to release the next crop production report Monday morning, and the combines begin to roll across the Corn Belt.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Randy Gordon from the National Grain and Feed Association. Our panelists today are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question, gentlemen. The December contract had a low of $2.15 for the corn. That was put into place August the 31st. Will that hold as harvest picks up? Greg Johnson.
It may, or we may go just a little bit lower. I think we're very close to a bottom. I've seen some people talk about 208, 209. Others are saying 215. Either one, I think, in the long run, will be a good place to own corn.
And Mike Georgie.
I'll have to agree. I think I don't believe right now the bottom's in. I think we got to close above 222 to get people to change their mind. But right now, I think there's strong resistance there, and I'm not sure how low we can go. But I think 210 may be a bottom.
And your opinion, Kurt Kimmel?
Well, there's tons of buy stops at 223. So if we never get above 222 and 223, I think they'll say maybe we got a low end. But the fear is that SEP goes off down here in the low $2, and these could roll down where the SEP goes off. Then, too, if you go back to the downside objective, the head and shoulders top, it projects to this low $2 level. So we're close. This is going to take some time.
As we wait that out, one of the things that will happen is Monday's USDA crop production report. At this point, the average guess for the corn at 10.3 billion bushels from the industry. USDA's August guess at 10.35 billion bushels. Any reason to believe that they'll change too much in the September report?
Well, this report's expected to be more detailed. I mean, we look forward to the farm Pro Farmer Crop Tour and see what they had, but the USDA is going to be a little bit more thorough than the August report. Ideas are that maybe Illinois is a little bit better than expected, and Iowa's probably a little bit less, but I'd be in agreement maybe this report's going to show a little less corn on this round and go from there.
And then the average USDA guess for carryout for next year, Mike, is at 1.9 now. But the average industry guess is at 1.817. So is that, in your opinion, reflecting a lower corn yield across the U.S., or are we going to have better usage?
Well, I think the usage is going to stay the same. I mean, we're looking at a smaller number. Our survey we did in August looked at about a 10.2 crop, which is going to be about 143 million bushel lower than last month's estimate. And I agree. I think it's going to be more detailed, and they're going to have the August weather involved. And I think it's going to be a smaller crop.
Here, the way the numbers settled from the Chicago Board of Trade for the grains for the week. Corn September contract, a high this week of $2.08. The low at 202.5. The change from last Friday's settlement price, down a half cent to 203 for the SEPs. December contract down 1.25 from last week. They finished at $2.16 a bushel. And the oats finished at 150.5. They were up 8.25. September wheat at 313.25 on the high, the low at 303. SEP wheat settled at $3.13. They were up 8 from last week. December contract at 325.75, up 5.75. Early estimates from the crops here in Champaign County and surrounding areas look like what, Greg Johnson?
Here in central Illinois, we've just gotten started in both corn and beans, so it's always dangerous to project yields based on less than 1%. But so far, so good in Champaign County. Bean yields seem to be in the upper 40s to mid-50s. 48 to 55 seems to be very common. The corn seems to be coming off better than expected. Down around Springfield, where they've been harvesting for well over a week now, it seems like in general, two out of the three reports are better than expected. You still hear those disappointing yields where it either got planted early and pollinated ahead of the rain or just didn't get the rain at all. But it seems like Kurt said, in general, in Illinois, it seems to be a little bit better than expected.
Big enough crop that you'll have corn on the ground this year at your elevator?
Yes. When you figure the combination of carryover from last year, there is just so much corn carried over from last year. Elevators and processors in central Illinois have been railing corn in from Iowa back a month ago. We talked about the cheap 50 under basis levels. Some of that corn has found its way into Illinois, and it's being held over because there's basically a 25-cent cash carry in the market from fall bids to January bids. So the market is saying, we really don't want the corn now, but we will pay you more for it in January. And so farmers and elevators are holding on to that old crop corn. So between the combination of old crop corn being carried over and a decent enough new crop, yes, I think we'll have corn on the ground in a lot of places.
How far under the nearby was your cash bid on Friday afternoon?
25 cents under December.
So you were 25 under.
About a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were 14 under. So our basis has dropped 11 cents in 2 weeks.
That's a pretty fair break. And do you suspect any of that in your area here in Champaign County, much of it was due to Katrina, or is that simply ramping up as we get into harvest season?
No, I think a lot of it can be attributed to Katrina. People that ship corn down the river by barge or rail corn down, it's hard to get bids down at the Gulf now. And everybody, a lot of our corn goes to the feeder markets in the southeast. Well, the people that normally go to the Gulf are now selling into the feeder markets. So the markets that are still buying corn are getting swamped with offers. And so that all has had an impact on the weaker basis.
LDP at 43 cents. I want to stay with you on this one just a bit. In Illinois, or most of Illinois, unusually, there were a couple of the counties in the far deep southern part of Illinois that were at 48 cents today on Friday afternoon. What are you telling producers about what they have to do to make sure they take advantage of that LDP?
You have to harvest the corn in order to take the LDP, but you need to get out in the field. If that corn dries down over the weekend like it should, first part of next week, we'll probably see corn in the low 20s. And yes, you'll have to pay a little bit of drying, but that 40-some cent LDP pays for a lot of drying.
I imagine you're telling your customers, Kurt, to go ahead and get that done, but they need a strategy after that fact to protect themselves in some form?
Well, yeah, correct. I mean, when you look at 40-some LDP and some generous $1.90 bids, and especially if you got to pay commercial storage, it makes sense to maybe go convert that to paper ownership. But, yeah, I think if you got some stuff that's dry, you don't want to go in there 28% and pay a fortune to dry it down. But I think that's the strategy here is LDP. Go ahead and move it and take the LDP. Or else you can take the LDP and do like Greg and everybody else does in the commercial industry, hedge it and capture the carry.
Okay, so if you do it on paper, so if you go ahead, do the LDP, make the sale, what kind of strategy are we talking about?
You got to be long up front due to the carry of the marketplace. So it depends on your comfort zone, for say. You can either be long the board, for put, but I think you got to be long up front in order not to get caught in the carry.
This is in the case that you don't have your own storage or a space that you want to put it in, and you're willing to pay the elevator to store it. Tell me about what you're looking at for total crop size when the numbers are released Monday morning from USDA.
Total crop size for corn, we're looking at a 10.22 crop. Which is going to be about a 1.8 carryover, 137, 0.5 bushel an acre average is what our surveys came up with. And, we think it's going to rally here, but it's going to take a while.
Either of the two of you, Kurt or Mike, heard from your Northern Illinois clientele, and can you tell us what they're bringing in? Their crops still have to be in just desperate shape as they harvest.
Yeah, as you go north of here, it gets kind of variable. It's anywhere from 50 to 140 bushels. As you go into the northwest, there's more disaster stories up in there of 40, 50 bushel corn. I've not heard any beans yet.
And have you heard about beans out of the northern part of the state?
No, not really on the beans, but I think the corn is variable. I've heard areas that have been dry where they're still getting 170 bushel corn, and you're wondering why. They got one good rain, and they still have a good crop.
You know, let's move into the beans very quickly. June the 20th to Friday of this week, November's beans went from $7.70 to a low Friday of $5.89. Given that beans were at $4.98, remember back? Everybody remember that back in January? You sort of have to remind people of that one. It means you can still draw an uptrend, frankly, in this market on the weekly and monthly charts. Of course, trends are made to be broken. Which way will USDA push the beans on Monday?
Good question. I have a feeling they might probably increase production a slight bit, but beans yields better than expected, but it might not be till the next report before we get a better handle on it. But I feel the trend's down here for a while. But that's typical of a roller coaster market like we had in the 70s, up, down, up, down. I think we're going to see a lot of that. In fact, if you want to look at percentage moves, from the spring to the summer high back down to the fall low in here, it typically is starting to resemble 1987.
87, so that would have been the year prior to the big drought. What you must have a message in there of some sort that we're supposed to come up with.
Well, there's some areas that are real short in moisture. If you remember 87, we got into same type of market. We had a rally during the summer. We came back, made new lows. Then once we got into harvest, we just shut the moisture off throughout the entire Midwest. And you talk about drought markets, excuse me. Well, we're doing a good job with these hybrids and stuff where if you get some good rains on and you have good stands, you can produce a decent crop. But the fear will be going in the spring without the moisture. You can't produce a good crop without stands and the population count. So the big fear is not getting the moisture this winter.
Yeah, one other note out of 87, I think that was also the low in the land market, not the high in the land market. So something else to keep in mind. Everything's just a bit different over time, but now you have $5,000 an acre, and I don't know what she dropped to in 87, but I do recall that it was in that low range at that point. On Monday, when USDA releases these numbers for the corn or for the beans, it will be dealing from a crop size of 2.791 billion bushels for the August. The average trade guess is actually 2.811, so the trade seems to think that the bean crop's going to get better, and it sure acted like that was the case on Friday afternoon when by the end of the day they decided to drop out of the market and pushed her down 10 cents.
Yeah, the farmers have done a good job of holding on to beans throughout the entire year, and the processors have been forced to pay some pretty big premiums. Now that we're seeing harvest taking place and just around the corner, those old crop bids have faded. All along, if you remember back, there's been a reason why to hold on to beans. I mean, the South Americans were having problems for the second year in a row. We were going to have rust. We weren't going to plant as many acres of beans. Then it turned off dry. There was lots of reasons. And the funds are still long beans. I didn't see the numbers on Friday, but the funds have gotten short corn, but they still maintain a fairly long position in beans. So all of that has contributed to the bean price probably being higher than what it should have been. You know, there was probably no way that beans were going to be $7 this fall. They were either going to be 6 or 8, and it looks like now they're 6 and heading down to 550.
Oh, so you're bearish still yet for the bean market, and for how long?
Until the funds probably bail out. I think we're close to the bottom in corn, so we probably are getting close to the bottom in beans, but if we hear some good yields continue and USDA comes out with a 2.8 or bigger number, then there's going to be talk about planting more bean acres next year as farmers try to cut back on input costs and plant less corn and more beans. So we're going to be under pressure for a little while, but there's a lot of things that have to go just right to keep the prices below $6.
Yeah, I think Greg touched on it earlier, too. If you look at everybody's looking forward what this crop's carry out going to be, but that's going to be a year from now. We weren't looking at this last past year of 2 billion corn and over 300 million bushel bean carry out. And Greg mentioned that all come to the trough here at the same time. But technically, closing below $6 opens up the technical indicators to maybe drift on down to this 5.5 level until we find a home for these beans.
Yeah, and then, of course, what happens if Brazil and Argentina come on with a normal crop year? They've had two bad crop years in a row. That's the first time that's happened since they really started raising beans. So they're, 10 to 15 years into having a regular bean crop. But this is the first time they've had any bad crop year. So if they raise a normal one, what happens?
Well, basically, we'll keep the world supply-demand balance sheet up here in this upper level that we've gone to here this last year. It means there's ample world supplies of beans, and that sets up to where the competition bean is going to be. It's either going to be U.S. or Brazil. With higher freight rates, we hopefully will be they'll be coming, especially China, be coming to the U.S.
As the producers are talking to any of the three of you, many of them talking about putting more beans in the ground. I know, Greg, that you discussed that, but are they really discussing that? And are they talking about beans and or wheat? Anybody?
Well, here through Central Illinois, I'm picking up more beans for some of these guys. They're talking about an extra $20 to $40 per acre net income going beans right now at the current cost. You take Southern Illinois, it'd probably be wheat with double crop beans.
Yeah, let's take a look at the numbers as they came in from the Chicago Board of Trade. For the beans, September's had a high this week, $6.07.5, the low at $5.80. September settled at $5.80.5. They were off 8 cents from last week, all of that taken off on Friday afternoon. The same in the November beans. They were down 9 cents at $5.90. From the Mercantile Exchange, the numbers finished like this. Live cattle, the October contract, 84.92.5 on the high, the low at 81.22.5, and a settlement price at 84.82.5. They were up $3.62.5 from last week. September feeder cattle at 114.57.5, up $3.77.5 from last week. Lean hogs, a similar situation, 64.75 the high, the low at 61.67.5. That October contract settled at $64.75. They were up 3.10, and the bellies at 82.02 were up 2.42. They've been rallying pretty good at the Mercantile Exchange for quite some time now. Can they stay strong?
For a short term in here, I think we're looking at better demand, and also, too, if cheaper grain cost is increased the demand for feeders. Two guys are going to feed these fats heavier and through here instead of selling cash grain for $1.50. You know, they'll go through the meat side of it. But in return, this is all going to end here down the road as we start putting more ample supplies of red meat in the system.
Anything that you're telling your clientele about locking in prices or feed prices at these levels for their livestock?
Yeah, I've talked to people today that I think it's a good chance to lock in your cash price, and if you have to buy a put if you think it's going lower. But I think on corn, you definitely want to lock in your price.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Randy Gordon, the Vice President of Communications and Government Relations at the National Grain and Feed Association.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather the first week of September was close to perfect for this time of year, warm but not humid, and no rain. Unfortunately, rain is something that is badly needed across much of Illinois. There was no rain in Illinois until Thursday of this week, when a complex of thunderstorms finally pushed into the northern and western portions of Illinois. High pressure dominated Illinois weather since late last week, and it only gave way grudgingly to the advancing rain. Temperatures were warmer than normal this week, with afternoon highs reaching the mid to upper 80s on most days and near 90 later in the week. The warm days were offset by generally pleasantly cool nights. With low dew points and clear skies, overnight lows dropped into the 50s and 60s most nights. Temperatures ranged from about 1 degree above normal in southern Illinois to 5 degrees above normal in the north. High pressure stretched out across the southeastern United States will keep Illinois weather warm and generally dry next week. The best chances for any rain will come at the middle to end of the week in northern Illinois, where a cold front could stall and be the focus for showers and thunderstorms. While all of Illinois could use rain, that's the area that needs it the most. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Mike Giorgi of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois. Our guest, Randy Gordon, Vice President and Communications and Government Relations at the National Grain and Feed Association. Randy, thanks for joining us today.
Todd, it's a pleasure.
A quick question that's been nagging me, because I have this feeling that I wrote your last name down wrong and that it's actually Gordman and not Gordon. Is that correct?
No, it is Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N.
And then I did get it right. Well, good on me, I suppose. Let's check in with you very quickly. Our listeners who are subscribed to our newsletter that usually comes out on the weekend will be familiar with some of your writings. They've seen a couple of things that you had written earlier in this week. We've got about 800 to 900, well, almost 1,000 now subscribers to our weekend newsletter, sending on to them the National Grain and Feed Association's assessment of what's been happening in the Gulf and the kind of damage Katrina has done to our capacity in the United States to handle exports for grains. Can you tell me what's there and what kind of damage Katrina did do?
Well, Todd, at the export elevators themselves, we're blessed in the sense that there was limited physical damage to those facilities. Our understanding as of today is that 8 of the 10 grain export elevators in that Mississippi Center Gulf region that includes the New Orleans, what we would think of as the major export elevators in that region, have had power restored at this point. Now, of those 8 facilities, one was already undergoing renovation prior to the hurricane, and so it is not operating, even though it's not physically damaged and has power. But there are 2 facilities there that, as of today, were still without power. Of course, they happen to be located the closest to New Orleans, and that's where, obviously, the storm was most severe. So the conditions, the physical conditions of the elevators are in remarkably good shape given the severity of the storm. There are some repairs that are underway at a few of them, but those 7 of those 8 elevators that are in operating condition are resuming at least limited operations at this point.
How much would they normally handle in grain on a given day, and what's their capacity, do you think, at this time?
Well, the elevators at that region basically range in size from about 2 million bushels of storage capacity to about 8 million bushels, about 7.7 million bushels is the largest one down there. Combined, their capacity is about 526 million bushels of those 10 elevators at the region. And their vessel loading capacity ranges generally from about 60,000 to 100,000 bushels per hour. Now, in addition to those physical grain elevators that are located there, there are 3 or 4 floating, what are called floating rigs in that region that don't have storage capacity, but basically unload barges and transload that grain directly onto vessels. And they have a rated loading capacity ranging between 30,000 and 60,000 bushels an hour.
Did I read what you had written correctly that really said that the elevators themselves were not operating at this point and that it was transloading that was taking place only?
No, it is the elevators themselves that are resuming some operations. We know of at least 3 of the elevators that have unloaded barges, and a couple of them have actually loaded some vessels already that were already in that area. So there are the elevators themselves have begun to gradually resume operations of both unloading and loading.
Why is it important for your association that these elevators, and it's a fairly straightforward question, but why is it important that the elevators get up and be operational?
Well, as you know, this is a absolutely critical port for U.S. grain exports. Typically, about 60 to 70% of our raw corn, soybean, and wheat exports are moved through the Mississippi Center Gulf port. And again, it's primarily a corn and soybean port. Based on the current calendar year, we've seen about 90% of our grain that goes out of that port is constituted of corn and soybeans. It's also an important export port for soft red wheat as well, soft red winter wheat. So there is just no way for the capacity that exists at that port to basically be relocated or transmovements, shipments diverted to other ports to make up for the capacity that port handles.
And could you explain to us what companies are make up and individuals, if there are, make up the association, Grain and Feed Association?
Yes, we have about 900 member companies in NGFA's membership that represent all types and sizes of grain elevators, feed manufacturers, corn and soybean processors, grain exporters, and others that are in the business. Our members operate about 5,000 facilities and handle about 70% of the U.S. grain crop.
Back to the New Orleans, the export market there. In your opinion, are we far enough along in here, barring no additional hurricanes go through the area, that maybe the commercial could be back in a position to narrowing the basis and start bidding grain down through those ports now?
Well, there are a lot of interrelated factors that need to come about here. We've used the analogy a little bit recently that the analogy that no chain is stronger than its weakest link, and these elevators are very dependent upon the infrastructure in that region. And that, quite frankly, is the major challenge that these facilities face right now. first and foremost is just getting the labor needed and back in position. This is a human tragedy, and I think we all want to be very mindful of keeping our thoughts and prayers the people who have lost their lives in that region and been displaced and lost all of their worldly possessions. And that includes some of our grain elevator workers in that region. There also is a shortage of pilots to navigate these ships into port right now because people are dispersed quite widely. We also see a shortage of boatswain's mates, the people that actually will ash and position those barges for unloading. And finally, on the human resource side, it's for the industry to recover here, it's important that they be able to resume 24/7 operations. Most of these elevators operate 24 hours a day with three shifts. And right now, with the curfew situation, to try to restore law and order in parts of that region, we have a dusk to dawn curfew that, you know, keeps people from working in those elevators. So we're working with the Department of Homeland Security and the local parishes in that area to see if we can't get some kind of a worker permit program going so that elevator employees, if they are in the region, can resume working. So, and you also need the living accommodations for these folks. As I mentioned earlier, a number of them have lost their homes, lost their possessions, and so for them to be able to work, there needs to be some kind of housing as well as the basic sustenance necessary, be it food, water, all the things needed for life, to be restored some in that area. So those are very important human considerations.
Just very quickly, what's the most important thing to get this back up and running? Is it the human side of it that you just detailed?
I think it's actually four factors, one of which is the human side. One is, of course, restoring the navigation on the Mississippi River and in that what they call the Southwest Pass that leads into the harbor outside New Orleans where most of the vessels that need to load grain come in. So there's a necessity to try and open up that navigation channel. Now, right now it's open to two-way traffic in most areas of the river. But we need to see some deeper drafts in the river as well as in the harbor to allow some of these Panamax grain vessels to be able to transit in that are fully loaded right now with container-type shipments so that they can be able to load grain.
Randy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Randy Gordon is the Vice President of Communications and Government Relations for the National Grain and Feed Association. A quick final word from our panelist, Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
Be ready to lock in that LDP when it gets over 40 cents. Don't get too cute waiting for a penny or two more.
Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Well, as we get into harvest, let's everyone be safe and have a successful harvest.
And Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
I think there's a lot of marketing opportunities here in front of us. It's just a matter of sitting down, push the pencil, and find out which one works best for your own situation.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, the hearings to confirm John Roberts to the U.S. Supreme Court will be carried live next week on WILL. It means most of our ag programming will only be available on the web. The address is WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then agriculture. Have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.